wonderful story of God's love, that his wounds have paid my ransom. Thank you for that, worship team. That is wonderful. I'm thinking about Father's Day. There is plenty. Man, this is a nice table. No wonder Pastor Manoj uses it. Oh, you got plenty you can work with here. And in my mind, I thought about setting up a message about how we celebrate our fathers. As I did so, I wanted to think about what it means about the loving arms of the Father. And when they think about the loving arms of the Father, there's some ways that we can talk about fathers, especially within Scripture, that leads us down some paths. In fact, with this first picture, go and put that up there, I thought about the example of maybe of Abraham. An example of Abraham and how that would be as a good father. And I might talk a little bit about that and how Abraham was a father of many. And yet with the father Abraham, I could expound upon that or maybe even talk about another father that's special that not everybody talks of. And that's the father of Joseph, who is the husband of Mary. And Joseph, yep, next slide. And then, and Joseph, who was a husband, but also the father of Jesus. And yet he is the very epitome of humility, giving up his life and his importance to be lesser than his son. But instead of expounding upon that, I wanted to talk a little bit more about the current situation about fatherhood and expound about what fatherhood means. And yet in today, I don't think the situation that we have about fatherhood is new. In fact, in the scripture of Ecclesiastes 1:9, it talks about, and I quote from the ESV version, Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, "What has been and what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there's nothing new yet under the sun." Yet in the current context, when I think about fatherhood and marriage can be suffering by the statistics of what we see when we have what I would think of as possibly a weak fatherhood. In the biblical example, it still remains the same, and may have strength. Yet, in current today's context, in the home, in the pressure of our socialist, maybe some democratic bent, to do, quote, what feels right, fatherhood might be weakened a bit. When the push to quit if it gets tough is more current today than any other day. In my day, they had a different saying. They said, they coined the phrase, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. That's right. Ooh. Little army in there. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. But so get going doesn't mean leave, right? Get going doesn't mean break contact. Get going means make change, make it work out, or to improve. So the improvement may have made letting to believe that instead of strengthening fatherhood, instead to redefine it and what they consider might be good characteristics of a father. And then with that, I think there's been a current challenge as to how we perceive God. God is perceived and revealed to us in three persons, right? Can we name them? God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, or classical. What we also refer to as the Trinity. It's a mystery, but one God, three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's also what we may think of as a hierarchy, because the Spirit is given to us because the Son has left to be with the Father. Before the Spirit was given, who'd the Son pray to? The Son, God the Son, prayed to God the Father. Remember his priestly prayer before he gave up his life for us. So I want to talk and give this discussion a little bit about two things. First, why scriptures are clear as to the reference of our loving God as a father. And then, number two, the characteristics of what a good father might be. As I'm talking about this, I want to be clear that the discussion looks at God, our Father, as the only good God. In fact, when those would talk to Jesus as he's walking and instructing and healing and giving people purpose and life, and the multitudes would come to see him, maybe to be healed, maybe sometimes to be fed, but definitely to be encouraged and to give hope. And the people would come to him and say, "Good teacher." What did he say back? The one quote, "There is no one good but God." No one. He's the only, God our Father is the only good Father. The rest of us are, as we say, maybe he's the good shepherd, we are under shepherds. We are fathers after the pattern of him. Broken. Redeemed, can be made whole through him by his shed blood, strengthened, given victory over the trials of life, to become more and more by him through the image of his Son, through the restoration of our lives through his Holy Spirit, coming new with his word, if we'll let him. It's a struggle. But the idea of God as our Father, it's been attacked by many progressive, maybe some ideologues that wish to look at some holes in the theology of Scripture, which I think is really in vain when they try to think of God as anything other than God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is our Father, but there is not a new tack about him being Father. Centuries ago, there were some other tacks similar, but today when they talk about it, to me, it's a little bit false, what I call a pseudo-egalitarian point of view. Because they're building on what they think to make people equal in the sight of God. Oh, I really picked up there. That's cool. To make us equal in the sight of God is that we're trying to think of God in our eyes instead of how he's revealed us to us. He revealed himself to us in that he is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but he makes us, the creation, his creation, equal under his eyes. So in other words, the building that people construct when they think of God may be something other than God the Father is shaky because the equality that we have as men and women under God is the equality that Jesus brings. When he had women be the first ones to see him risen, when he had several of us to meet, and one of the first churches of the Christian churches was housed and led by a woman. We are equal under him, but God is our Father and is referred to as such by Christ himself. We know that God is not neither male nor female, but he is spirit. However, Jesus openly refers to him as God the Father in that reference. In fact, according to the Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology, it appears on his lips at least 65 times in the Synoptic Gospels, over 100 times in John. Michael Bauman, who's a professor of Hillsdale College, he wrote this: "The paternity of God is not something foisted upon him by human or something considered chauvinistic ingenuity, or by theologians trying to be propagating what we call cultural patriarchy. But God's paternity is something revealed to us by his Son, Jesus. God is not a father after our likeness as we are, if we are fathers at all. Fathers somewhat after his fatherhood, which is, in fact, a divine revelation, not human intervention. So the fatherhood of God is only a metaphor if you make man the measure of all things, which is a blunder. When the Bible calls us, quote unquote, little gods, it's just a point of figure of speech. But when it calls God the Father as Father, it does not. That might sound a little convoluted. Let me bring that out a little bit. We see God clearly from the revelation received from God himself through his scripture and his word and the illumination of the Holy Spirit's calling. That's how we know God loves us. In fact, if you have your scriptures with you, pull up 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. And it reads like this: Yet among the mature we impart wisdom. It is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have been crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. And it continues in Ephesians. If you have scripture, you can also look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, where it continues on this, that Paul is giving this exhortation, talking about how I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what it is, the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance of the saints. When Christ told us to see him as our Father, we learned that fatherhood is something expressed in humility, obedience, purity, innocent suffering, honorable death and passing from this life, and a victory over sin through the grave. Divine fatherhood, in other words, is love and power exercised on the behalf of others. The bond between the Father and us is no longer merely as it was in the Old Testament era. The God of Israel has become our Abba, an ancient Aramaic word for daddy, as it says in Galatians 4:6. So the expounding upon God, he is definitely our Father, and he also has qualities of a mother, but we refer to him as Father, as Jesus did. Where mother, it can be someone who's nurturing, someone who loves and cares, and the qualities that a mother brings to cherish her young ones. The Father also cherishes, but has more defining aspects, such as the protector, the provider, and also the one whom all things originate. The pinnacle of leadership, the one who originates. This is why when we talk about the inheritance, the redemption that we can receive from him because of his son, we inherit it from God the Father, who bestows us an adoption where we too can become sons and daughters of God because of his son's sacrifice for our sin. That's some heavy stuff. If you think about this, looking into Romans, one of my favorite books of the Bible, in Romans chapter 4, it talks about even through Abraham. I said I wasn't going to talk a lot about Abraham. I might talk a little bit about him. That Abraham, who is a father to many, was a promise that he would be the father of everyone who believes. Yet he is the example of fatherhood, but our I guess I'm cutting out again. It must be that side of the podium. Can't talk to you guys. But he as a father is the one who brings us life, God our Father. And yet Abraham was the one also became a father of many nations because of his faith. Let me read that for you. In Romans chapter 4, verses 13, it says, Romans chapter 4, verse 13. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be the heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For it is the adherence of the law to be heirs, then faith is null, and the promise is void. I like the NIV, the promise is worthless. For through the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. This is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all of his offspring, not only to those who obey the law, but to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. And I will skip down there to when he talks about being our father. And then in verse 22, skipping to 22, it says that this is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. The words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but ours also. It will count to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. It was him who was raised up for our trespasses, or delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So he becomes our father, and God becomes our father through the sacrifice of his son. And this is what's rooted and known that our father is God through the Holy Scriptures, even in the Old Testament. You can pull up that next slide of the list of scriptures, that God is our father, and it says so in many scriptures, such as in Exodus 4:22, or Deuteronomy 32:6, and Isaiah, and plenty of others in Jeremiah and Hosea and Malachi. But the idea in the Hebrew construct is that the ownership and the inheritance always comes through the father. It always originates through the man. But and God to be our father, we get our salvation from him through Christ who is risen. So in discussing about the Lord is our father, then what's a good father? How can we be good fathers? And I'll tell you, I have not made it. And much as I tried to be the protector and the lover of my family, I have to look to the Lord to see the good qualities of a father, to continue in him, to grow, and to continue to love my family and my kids, to be a good father. But the arms of a father are something special. Because as I said before, the father can be protective, can definitely be earning to help his family, to give them an inheritance and a future. But the father does best by his loving arms, doesn't just alone protect for his family, but does so under the protection and the love of God the Father, to pray to him, to be open and surrendered to him, to rely on the strength of the Lord gives. And it's only through the arms of a father and the father above who loves us that we too can be strong and love like he did. For the arms of a father we've known also through the arms of the son. Because as the Son came and willingly gave up his arms to be crucified, to bleed and die for us, and then also took up his life again, that we know the loving arms of the Father as he revealed himself to us. And this is what we mean by the loving arms. Go ahead and show the video if you would. Go, go, go. I ask as we conclude today, would all the men in here who are currently fathers please stand? Or have been a father? Men, it is important for us that we pattern ourselves after the Lord of hosts, him who loved us so much that he gave his son. And which, if you're willing with me, just hold out your hands, just not whatever level is comfortable to you, but just hold out your hands, just calmly. I want to pray that we become more like the Father as God intended us to be, encourage, to be strong and loving arms for those that we love, our families, the ones that we love and cherish. And would everyone else go ahead and stand and rise with us as we go and pray? Worship team, go ahead and come. And Lord, I ask that you would bless our fathers. There is so much that we need. There's so much that we try to give. We have so much tried to protect and love those that are our families, the ones that we've raised with, the ones that we have cherished. We thank you so much for God that you have given us the example of a father. You've given us your son. And you've given us life and adopted us. Strengthen the arms of our fathers. Give us strength and wisdom, guidance, and ability to be actioned, to go forward in loving you, to give our hearts to you, to show our families what love is by the long-suffering and patience, the endurance, the joy, the peace, the patience that only comes from you. Go with us this week. Help us to come to your word, to let your spirit strengthen us, to uplift our arms, to always be outreaching to our families. We thank you for this day, the wonderful weather, that you go before us and help us, and our families would support us to always be the father we meant to be, that you designed us to be. Your love and through your mercy, we as a people and congregation and thankfulness to God, but ask this in the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, amen. We ask that you continue and as we go in peace today, and we're going to sing a little bit and I guess let that go from there. But ask that you just enjoy the fatherhood and pray to the Lord that we would always know good fathers and grow them in the matchless name of Jesus. May you go in peace.
How deep is the Father's love? And how grace and his equipping.